Well, good morning, every one of you, boys and girls.
Good morning.
We have liquid sunshine this morning. It's going to rain all day, the forecasters say. However, we're nice and dry and warm and comfortable here in our assembly. We're looking at the last verse of Jonah chapter 3, the last verse. We're getting very near to the end of our study. We've only one more chapter to go, and it really only features one or two important points, which we will take up, of course, in due season. But let's look at that last verse of Jonah chapter 3. It's the verse 10, and it reads like this. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. We finished our study on Tuesday by considering what we read in Matthew's Gospel, the chapter 12. You can look it up if you wish, you older ones, but don't take up time, you younger ones. We might just take a little more time to find the verse, but in Matthew chapter 12, and the verse 41, we have the words of the Lord Jesus, and we used what he said as a confirmation that what happened in Nineveh really did happen. There was a great converting of the people of that city. It really happened, and the conversion was genuine. For the Lord Jesus said, and the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, or Jonah, as I explained to you last time, that use of the name Jonas is but the Greek, because remember the New Testament was written originally in Greek, translated into English for us, but it first was written in Greek, and the Hebrew name, Jonah, appears as Jonas when it's written in Greek. But the Savior speaking of the man we have been studying, whose writings we have been studying, Jonah. And I thought as I read this verse 10, that here again is the proof that the men and women and teenagers, young people, really were converted. There was a real change in their heart, because it says in verse 10, and God saw. God saw. It's a good thing, boys and girls, ever to remember this. God sees. At this very moment, at this moment, God sees your heart. God sees my heart. And God saw the hearts of the people of Nineveh. And what he saw was a genuine change. They didn't put on a bit of a show. They didn't just pretend to believe what Jonah said and did a few things that supported their pretended change of heart. No, God saw that there was a real work of grace wrought in their heart. Of course, when we read, and God saw, and then remembering what we read in Matthew chapter 12, where the Lord Jesus said the men of Nineveh repented. We're talking about the same person that God referred to in chapter 10 of Jonah 3, and the Lord Jesus referred to in Matthew chapter 12. That's the same person, the Lord. Sometimes we forget that, you know. And I don't like the trend, boys and girls. You probably don't even notice it, but as you grow older, you will. The trend to speak of the Savior in such a way that it appears we just look on him as a man, Jesus of Nazareth, just a man, but he wasn't just a man, he was God. And the one referred to here in the verse 10 of Jonah 3, that's the one, the same one referred to in Matthew chapter 12, in the verse 41, Jesus, the Lord God of glory. So when the Lord Jesus said to the people that he was talking to in Matthew chapter 12, He was repeating to them what he had seen back in the days of Jonah. God saw. The Lord Jesus, who is God, saw their works. He saw the workings of their hearts. Not just of their hands, what they did in repentance, as a mark of their repentance. He saw the workings of their heart. So, this was a genuine work of grace that was wrought amongst the people. That makes it so marvelous, boys and girls. So marvelous. You know, I'm preaching now a long time, and I see, I was going to say every day, but I don't be out every day as I used to, but I could have said that some few years ago, that I see every day men and women who nearly 50 years ago professed faith in Christ, and they still show evidence of that change. For it was a genuine work. It was a genuine change of heart wrought by God. Oh, it's marvelous that God saved so many people in Nineveh. Now, I want to emphasize something here that's very important. Let's look at that verse again, verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now, let's understand that the works that the people of Nineveh did not earn God's pardon. God didn't pardon them because of the works that they did. I acknowledge that the narrative here, the way it's worded, may seem to suggest that the works of the people are what made God pardon them. But that would be taking the wrong meaning out of the words. No, God's pardoning of the people and his change of attitude toward them. He had been angry with them, was about to pour out his judgment on them, and then he changed. And he didn't do that. Now, the change didn't come about as a result of the works they did. That's important for us to understand. But it came about because God saw that in their hearts there had been a change. And the change in their hearts was seen in the works that they did. You see, when there's a change in your heart, there'll be a change in your life. If any man or woman or boy or girl is truly in Christ, they're new people, they're new creatures, they're new creations, and the old things pass away, and everything about them is new. That's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And in Nineveh, listen, just think about it. In Nineveh, as Jonah preached the truth of God, a great change came over the city. Sometimes, you know, when I go to some of the news sites on the internet, BBC or other news sites, on those news sites, occasionally there's a little report about changes that have taken place in the city. Or they'll show you a picture of what a city, like London, looked like 100 years ago. They've dug up this old picture of a street scene in London 100 years ago. Old trams, horses and carts. And very cleverly, you can move, you know, your cursor, you know what that is, the little arrow that you have on your screen when you're looking at the computer. You can move your cursor across that picture, and as you move it across, the picture changes from what London looked like 100 years ago to what London's looking like now. The same street, but there's no horses and carts, trams, or anything of that nature. It's modern scene, motor cars, etc., etc. And it's wonderful, you can just slide it back and forward. The old picture, the new picture. The old picture, the new picture. Well, long before technology enabled us to do that with pictures, God did it with sinners. When a person's born again, the old picture fades away. They're new people. They're new people. They don't speak the same. Don't act the same. Don't even look the same. The old scowling face has gone, and there's a gentle expression, a happy expression there. And that's what happened in Nineveh. It was just like as I've described, what you can come across on the internet, it was as if you could slide the cursor across the city and a new city was there. Oh, it was the same building, the same shape, the same structures, but there was a change in the hearts of the people. And if you had listened, gone was the bad language, gone was the blasphemy, gone was the lying and the deceit. And in the place of that sort of talk, there were expressions of reverence toward God and a faith in His Word. Oh, please understand, the works that they did, which God saw, was only evidence of the change of hearts. I emphasize this because, you see, the most of the world is made up of a religion. It might be called one thing in this country and another thing in that country and yet another thing, etc., etc., until you have almost names of religions without number across the world. But they all are the same, with the exception of the religion of the Lord Jesus. All other religions teach that for you to get to heaven, you've got to do works. You earn heaven by your works. You pay your way into heaven by doing certain works. Kindness to others, charity towards others, helping others, etc., etc. That's the religion of the world. The religion of many Protestants here in Northern Ireland. It's the religion of the Roman Catholics here in Northern Ireland. It's the religion of the Muslims, few and all as there may be, here in Northern Ireland. It's the religion of the Sikhs, even fewer likely here in Northern Ireland, and of any other brand of religion in Northern Ireland. They too teach you get to heaven by doing certain things. No. The gospel of the Lord Jesus teaches us that we get to heaven by the grace of God as a result of a change that God makes in our hearts. Works show that change. Works show that change. Remember the story of Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, who died, and they buried him. He's in the tomb. And along came the Lord Jesus, and He spoke to this man who was dead. And He said, Lazarus, come forth. And there was a change. That man's soul was brought back into his body. Oh, I can't even begin to rightly describe what happened in the instant the Lord spoke. But while we couldn't have seen, had we been there, we couldn't have seen the inward change, we saw the results of it. Because the dead man got up off the ledge that they had laid him upon and came out of the sepulchre, which would have been like a bit of a cave, something similar to that. He wasn't buried as we bury here in this country, but he would have been in a cave-like structure. And he came out of it alive, alive. Now that was the sure evidence that he really had been changed by the power of the Lord Jesus. And so it is with each one who becomes a Christian. There is seen in their lives works that prove they really have been converted. Now, I want you to understand, you don't get to heaven by your works, but by your works you prove that God has changed your heart. God has changed your heart. Repentance is a wonderful thing. It's a gift from God. Let me start off by saying that. I cannot work repentance of myself. God has to give me repentance. It's a gift from God. It's something wrought within me and you, if God has given you repentance. God wrought that in your heart. God made you sorry for your sins. God made you realize that you were a sinner. You were in defiance of God and you were going down the road to everlasting damnation. And you were sorry for what you had done, your rebellion and your disobedience. But that sorrow, that change, that attitude, God gave it to you. It's a gift from God. I'll read Acts chapter 5, the verse 31, just to confirm what I'm saying. Verse 31, speaking of Christ, in verse 31 we read, Him, that's Christ, hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior for to give repentance to Israel. Peter is speaking here, and he is telling the people of Israel why the Lord Jesus was now in heaven and what he was doing. He was going to give repentance to Israel. But of course, it's true of everyone who becomes a Christian. That repentance that we express and we show, it has come as a result of God working in our hearts. That's why Jonah had said, if you remember in the chapter 2, the last verse but one, the verse 9 of chapter 2, Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. And so it is, boys and girls. Neither you nor I can repent genuinely unless God works in our hearts. Unless God works in our hearts. Now, as a result of repentance, in Romans chapter 5 and the verse 1, we are told we have peace with God. Peace with God. Now, think of Nineveh as Jonah entered the city. He said, God's going to destroy you in 40 days. There was no peace with God there. That was a declaration of war. That was an expression of what God was going to do to the city. Destroy it. And the people. Send them into everlasting damnation. There was no peace between God and Nineveh when Jonah began his preaching. But now there has been this work of grace within their hearts by the mercy of God. And they have been changed and they're repentant. And now they have peace with God. Doesn't verse 10 tell us that? They turned from their sin. And it says God repented. God turned. And he didn't do that which he said he was going to do. Because now there was peace between God and the people in Nineveh. Romans chapter 8 and the verse 1 says, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. The condemnation had been lifted off Nineveh. Jonah came into the city, and the very first words he uttered were, you're under condemnation. God's going to destroy you. But they repented. And as a result, heaven's attitude toward them changed. And there was no condemnation. Are you saved today? Has God wrought in your heart the spirit of repentance? Are you one that's sorry for your sin? Martin Luther one time said something that's very important. He said, true Christianity, or he said words to this effect. He said, true Christianity is summed up in one word, repentance. And every true child of God, no matter what land they're in or what language they speak, they have within their heart the spirit of repentance. And if you were to challenge them, they would readily say, yes, I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. That's what I deserve. But God in mercy has forgiven me and cleansed me. And now I'm at peace with God. But oh, I know I'm a sinner. And the true Christian lives every day with that knowledge. I'm a sinner. Across the whole world, you will find in the true Christian a spirit of repentance. And that's what God saw as he looked down on Nineveh. And as a result of seeing the spirit of repentance, God said, I'll not destroy you. And that's what God says to you today if you're saved. If you have come to Christ, he says, I'll not destroy you. I'll not destroy you. You know, boys and girls, this brings us to the very heart of what the death of the Lord Jesus at Calvary accomplished, brought about. You see, at the cross, the Lord Jesus bore our sins upon himself. All the guilt that was ours, the Lord Jesus took it upon himself. And he, as a sacrifice, came before God, covered in our sins. And as the hymn writer puts it, the wrath of God that was my due, your due, was laid on him. God judged the Lord Jesus, his beloved, his only beloved son. He judged him as being guilty of all our sins. He became our substitute. And the wrath of God that was our due burned itself out on Christ. All the wrath that was due to me burned itself out on Christ. And so, by his death, he removed all our guilt. The term the Bible uses is that the blood of Christ shed on Calvary justifies us from all sin. Justifies. Could I explain that? I hope you'll never forget this. As a result of Christ's death on the cross, the shedding of his blood on our behalf, we became, in God's eyes, just as if we had never sinned. Do you hear me? If you're saved today, in God's eyes, it appears as if you had never sinned. There's no trace of sin in you, because Jesus bore it all and carried it away. And that's why the Lord turned from his wrath in Nineveh, because they had repented, believed God, put their trust in him. And as a result, as God looked on them now, he saw no sin. He saw no sin. They were covered by the merits of Christ. Even though the Savior had yet to come into the world, nevertheless, in the eyes of God, what the Lord Jesus did at Calvary had actually been accomplished. God knew that his Son would die on the cross. And therefore, because the people of Nineveh believed the offer of mercy, they were spared and looked upon by God as those without sin. Boys and girls, as we close, I want to emphasize that it is faith in the gospel promise and repentance toward the Lord which make up the door by which we enter heaven. You can't get into heaven unless you have repented toward God and had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. You not get to heaven. I don't care how many times you've been in church, how many times you've been in a children's meeting, how good you have been in Sunday school. I don't care about any of these things unless you have repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never get to heaven. May that come home to your heart today, boys and girls, with power. And may the Lord be pleased to bless you and bring you to repentance and faith in Christ, if you have not yet come. And if you have, oh, may you rejoice that being under the blood, you are, in God's eyes, just as if you had never sinned. That's the marvel of God's salvation. Let's bow in prayer. We do ask thee, Lord, today, that it may please you, even as you did with the words of Jonah, bless the children here, to the strengthening of those who have faith in Christ, and to the granting of repentance and faith to those who are not yet saved. Bless our school. Keep it by your grace. Bless the teachers and all that concerns it, parents at home. To thine honor and glory we ask these things. Amen. Amen.